Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Global Perspectives on Migration and Food Security. I'm your host, Maria Salamone, and I'm joined by my co-host, Jonathan Krush, director of the My Food Network.
Thanks, Maria. Today, we're looking at another important and timely issue, the food security of displaced Venezuelans in Ecuador. Our discussion is based on a recent My Food research paper, authored by colleagues Tammy Milan and Cheryl Martins of Universidad San Francisco de Quito, titled An Exploratory Study of the Food Security of Displaced Venezuelans in Ecuadorian Cities During COVID-19. This paper focuses on how the pandemic impacted one of the most vulnerable groups in Latin America, Venezuelan migrants. So let's start by giving our listeners some context on the Venezuelan migration crisis and how it has affected Ecuador.
Okay, Jonathan, let's do that. So over 7.7 million Venezuelans have left their country due to the ongoing economic and political crisis, making this one of the largest displacement crises in the world. The majority of these migrants, about 6.5 million, have settled in Latin American and Caribbean countries. Ecuador is the third largest recipient of displaced Venezuelans, with over 500,000 migrants and refugees. However, many Venezuelans in Ecuador are irregular migrants, meaning they lack proper legal status. According to the research, 73% of Venezuelan migrants in the region are undocumented, and 90% are working in the informal economy or are unemployed.
Right, and this particular paper goes on to take a closer look at the struggles with food insecurity faced by Venezuelan migrants and refugees living in key cities across Ecuador, including Quito, Manta, Machala, and Huaquillas. It points out that even before the pandemic, many migrant households in Ecuador were already facing poverty, malnutrition, and other vulnerabilities. These conditions make it incredibly difficult for Venezuelan migrants to access basic services like healthcare and education, and they have a direct impact on their food security.
Before we go any further, Jonathan, can you say a bit about the methodology?
Sure, let's take a quick look. This research used a mixed methods approach, combining a systematic review of quantitative household data with qualitative insights from focus groups with Venezuelan migrants, the majority of whom were women.
Thanks very much. That's important because the paper specifically highlights how gender plays a role in food insecurity, with women often shouldering the burden of providing for their families, despite facing severe economic hardships. It's very interesting that this gendered aspect is so prominent in their findings.
True. And many of the women were also in irregular situations and had dependents in their care, which further compounded their vulnerability during the pandemic.
Now let's move on to the findings. For me, one of the main takeaways from this research is the dramatic rise in food insecurity among the general population, as well as displaced Venezuelans during the COVID-19 pandemic. According to the study, nearly half of Ecuadorian households reported moderate or severe food insecurity during COVID-19, and this figure was even higher for migrant households.
Yes, and in fact, many Venezuelan migrants were earning less than $85 per month during the pandemic, well below the poverty line. With such low incomes, most migrants struggled to access basic necessities, including food. Focus group participants reported that they frequently had to reduce the number of meals per day, often skipping breakfast or lunch entirely to make food last longer.
One particularly striking quote from the paper comes from a street vendor in Quito who said, "I was more afraid of starving to death than of COVID." This really illustrates the severity of the situation. Many migrants were forced to make difficult choices between risking their health and putting food on the table.
And let's not forget the role of children in these households. Many focus group participants mentioned that they prioritized feeding their children over themselves. A grandmother in one of the groups explained that she would often go without food, saying, "If my grandchildren have dinner, I feel good. It doesn't matter if I eat or not." This pattern of adult women sacrificing their own food intake to feed their children and grandchildren was common across all the focus groups.
Another issue that emerged from the focus groups is that food insecurity among migrants is not just about quantity, it's also about quality. These families often consumed nutritionally inadequate meals, which worsened their overall health and well-being. So how did these migrants cope with such extreme deprivation in the quantity and quality of available food?
Well, the paper does outline several coping strategies that Venezuelan migrants used to survive during the pandemic. For example, some migrants turned to bartering to get food.
I recall how one participant described how she would cook food in exchange for eggs and other basic items from a neighbor who owned a chicken farm. In border cities, migrants also relied heavily on food donations from international organizations, but this aid was inconsistent and insufficient to meet their needs.
That's true. In Quito, for example, some migrants received food baskets from international organizations like the International Organization for Migration, IOM, but this aid didn't last long. One participant mentioned that the food basket she received only lasted a week.
And we also see a lot of informal unpaid labor being used as a way to secure food. Migrants would work in exchange for food, but often the food they received was of poor quality, sometimes expired or unsafe to eat.
We could dwell further on this issue, but let's shift focus a bit and talk about the organizational and governmental responses to the food security crisis during the pandemic. One of the most significant findings in this research is the gap between the demand for food assistance and the aid provided by international organizations.
That's right. The GTRM, an interagency coordination platform for Venezuelan migrants, received over 462,000 requests for food assistance during the pandemic. However, they were only able to meet 19% of those requests. The paper notes that food assistance programs were severely underfunded, and many migrants simply slipped through the cracks.
Exactly. And this lack of funding is a recurring issue. In 2020, for example, GTRM partners needed around $47 million to meet the food security needs of migrants in Ecuador, but they only received 2% of that amount. The result was a severe deficit in food assistance, leaving many migrants to fend for themselves.
And while some local governments and civil society organizations stepped in to help, the overall response was fragmented and insufficient. The paper argues that the Ecuadorian government needs to develop more robust social protection programs for migrants, particularly in terms of food security. Right now, most of the assistance is coming from international organizations, which can't meet the demand.
Speaking of policy, Maria, the paper makes several key recommendations for addressing migrant food insecurity in Ecuador. First and foremost, it calls for more sustainable and long-term food security programs for migrants. This includes expanding social safety nets to include undocumented migrants, who are currently excluded from most forms of state assistance.
Yes, and another important recommendation is to improve coordination between the Ecuadorian government and international organizations. Right now, there's a lot of overlap in services, but also significant gaps. The paper suggests that a more unified approach could help stretch limited resources further and ensure that more migrants receive the help they need.
Additionally, the paper emphasizes the need for gender-sensitive policies. As we've seen, women migrants are disproportionately affected by food insecurity, often because they are primary caregivers. Policies that specifically support women, including those that provide childcare or food vouchers, could help alleviate some of the pressure on these households.
Absolutely, Jonathan. And finally, the paper highlights the importance of collecting more detailed data on migrant food insecurity. Right now, the lack of comprehensive data is a major barrier to effective policymaking. More research is needed to fully understand the scope of the problem and to develop targeted solutions. So, to sum up, this study provides a detailed look at how the COVID-19 pandemic exacerbated food insecurity among Venezuelan migrants in Ecuador. It's clear that while some aid was provided, it fell far short of meeting the immense need, leaving many migrants struggling to survive.
That's right, Maria. The study highlights the need for more coordinated, long-term policies to address food insecurity, particularly for the most vulnerable populations, like migrant women and children.
Thank you, Jonathan, and thank you to our listeners for tuning in to this important discussion. We hope you found today's episode both informative and eye-opening. If you'd like to read more about this topic, we encourage you to check out the full research paper by Tammy Milan and Cheryl Martins, published as part of the My Food series.
And don't forget to subscribe to Global Perspectives on Migration and Food Security for more discussions on the global challenges surrounding migration, food security, and much more. Thanks for listening.
See you next time. This podcast was created with the assistance of ChatGPT 4.0 and Wondercraft, an AI-powered audio studio.